Hello and welcome back to 10 out of 10 We'd Watch Again with Lauren and Ross.
Hello.
Anyway, before we get into this week's episode, we just want to say thank you so much to everyone who's gave us a follow on Instagram, gave us a wee comment. We've had such lovely message and feedback, and we're just glad that you guys like it because we like doing it.
Aye, we've got a lot of good responses, good reviews on it, so thanks, guys.
And like, people listening in like America, we were like, oh, hello from Glasgow.
We've got three in America, one in Belgium, one in Poland. Was it? I'll take that.
Listen, international.
Oh, you better believe it.
So we know this is only episode 2, but we've gone a bit rogue. We've gone a bit off script. I know we said we were going to go through great movies, but not this week, baby. It's Oscar week. So basically, me and Ross have decided that we were going to watch all of the Best Picture nominations and see if we can predict who's going to win it. Some of them we watched at the start of the year. Some of them we've just watched now. And how long did you say we've been spent watching these movies?
I think we walked out about 27 hours it took and to watch all of them.
I have felt longer. Minute of doing it.
Yeah, it's felt far longer.
Honestly, the theme of the Oscars this year is like depression and heavy-handed metaphors. And like, I get it. I get that the Oscars is super serious, but people, I need some joy. I need some actual joy in my life right now.
Oh, it's been horrendous.
So do you want to take us through what the nominations are?
Well, for the nominations, what we have watched has been Past Lives, American Fiction, Holdovers, Zone of Interest, Poor Things, Anatomy of the Fall, Maestro, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer and Barbie.
Or Barbenheimer, as the internet likes to call it.
No, that's what we done. That was a mistake and all.
Wait, we'll save that for the end. So basically, we're just going to try and not make this a six-hour podcast. And we're going to kind of go through all the movies, what we liked, what we didn't like, what ones you can most definitely skip. And then at the end, we'll see if we can make a prediction. And then at the start of next week's episode, we can see if we were right.
Aye. We'll do something more fun next week.
Yeah. I promise we will bring joy next week because me and Ross are having absolutely none of this. See if next year we turn around and say we're going to do all the Oscar movies again. Tell us no.
We've said it every year.
We do.
This is the year of deciding. It was pretty tough.
Yeah, I think last year we watched like 4 out of the 6 or something, and that like we skipped the depressing ones, well, apart from The Whale, but.
Nah, well.
Listen, The Whale was a mess.
Yeah.
So, as a general overview before we get in, I've been feeling a bit underwhelmed with all of these Oscar movies. Like, I can see what they're all trying to do, but I kind of feel like I'm being slapped over the head with metaphors that I didn't need explained to me. Some of the caliber's not been what I would consider to be an Oscar movie, and it's just, there's not been any that I think I would revisit right now. What about you, Ross?
Looking at the list, the only ones I've watched and I've really enjoyed, I'd probably watch again, is 3 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a bit Oppenheimer, Zone of Interest and American Fiction? But the other ones I wasn't really.
No.
Like, I heard great things about all of them, but I just wasn't into it.
Mm-hmm. So with that, basically we'll start off with Past Lives. So Past Lives, spoiler alert, is basically about two childhood friends who were, I don't know if I want to say they were in love as kids, but they were like really close. Then she goes to America, grows up over here, wants to be a writer. He finds her. Then she gets married. Then he comes over and is like, I think you're the one, blah, blah, blah. It was a whole thing. I had been really looking forward to seeing that.
That was the worst fucking synopsis I've ever heard in my life. What the fuck was that? They just come, she gets married, he comes fucking out. Just fucking, I love you. I love you, you bastard.
Tell me that wasn't the movie, though. Tell me.
That would have been a better movie.
Yeah, no, seriously, though. Because
I fucking love you.
Because I was, like, so excited to watch this movie. I was so hyped for it. Like, for months I'd been saying to you, oh, I've heard this movie's amazing. I've heard it's amazing. Finally got around to watching it because it's on this list. And I was so underwhelmed, man. Like, started watching it, liked it when I watched it, and then after a couple of days I was like, that just didn't hit the way they wanted it to hit.
Nah, I mean, I didn't really know anything about it before, so I wasn't really,
yeah, you weren't going into it with,
yeah,
the expectations.
Didn't really know what to expect, but I couldn't really, like, it didn't hit the same as what I've heard people say. It's like heart-wrenching, it's gutting and that, is it? I don't I don't see it.
I think that though, because we said that at the time, because obviously there's the thread of Inyun or like fate, invisible string, that kind of vibe. And you and me had like a whole conversation about it when we were watching it. And I genuinely think it's just because we've been together since the dawn of time. Like you are, like we in each other's person, do you know what I mean? If somebody was to show up at our door and be like, oh, I was in love with you as a Wayne. Like, all right, no bother, but...
Aye, fuck off.
That was genuinely one of the points that I took away from that movie. Her husband was so chill with her childhood ex-boyfriend coming to the door and basically trying to weak her away. He was so relaxed about it.
She's more than happy to go fucking swan about with him as well. Piss off.
I was...
She mentions the first time. Oh no, I think he's in love with me. So I'm still going to go meet him. So fuck off.
Yeah, neither of us would be as chill about that. All of that slagging. It was a beautifully shot movie. The soundtrack was really soft, went with the mood of the film. But that's kind of... I'd been so hyped to watch it. And even if it had been like a bit more arty-farty, I wouldn't have minded that.
Yeah.
But no, it just kind of, it was working a lot to give me nothing.
Yeah, I think like the bit of the bar when they're talking in Korean and they're kind of, I think that's maybe the big moment, but I couldn't get into it.
No, I totally agree.
I was just more annoyed for the guys, the husband the sitting husband, there.
100%. You and me were going off and not watched it. Like,
why would you do that to somebody?
Yeah.
Like, that's just horrid.
And like, as well, I don't know if I would class this as like an Oscar movie in the sense of, do you know what I mean? Where most Oscar movies are like biographical films or there's like huge transformations or it's like a historical event, that kind of thing. I feel like they just kind of dunted this because A24 is where it's at. So they were like, oh, there you go, here's your moment. But I just kind of feel like there's been better A24 movies, but then I know that kind of comes in with the months of the Oscar movies being
dropped. Was it not last year? A24 had the majority of them.
Yeah, because it was like Everything Everywhere All at Once, which was so good.
Yeah, like it was a lot of them. Was A24, so probably kind of just keep doing it.
Aye, fair play. I thought this movie was going to kind of traumatise me a bit, like that Blue Valentine movie that I still cannot watch. Like, I thought it was going to kind of end up like that. But then, basically I'm rambling just to say I would give it a solid 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah, the payoff wasn't really great. No. The way you went on about it and the way I've heard other people going about it, I didn't really get the same vibe for it.
Yeah, this I would not class as a 10 out of 10 would watch again.
No, I have no intention to rewatch it. I don't see the point.
The next one we watched is American Fiction. Do you want to give the synopsis for American Fiction, Ross?
Well, just write stuff, go stupid, then protect. A black guy pretends to be even more black.
Stereotypical black
to sell books, but it's not really about that.
No.
Which is what I think that surprise does. So that synopsis about as good as what you gave, so I'm happy with that.
Right, okay. Yeah, because the trailer of this really makes it seem like the point of the movie is that this writer has just gone stereotypically like black to sell roots. By the way, if you've not seen the trailer, the author is black, so when we were watching it, we were like, oh, this will just be a daft wee comedy about this. But it's really not. Like, the story of the book is just kind of like a baseline of the movie. It's more of like a kind of family drama movie
Just the running thing in the film.
Mm-hmm. And I thought this movie was so funny. I thought, like, the cast, they played it so straight. And there was a good couple of times where I was proper.
Oh, no, it was a really funny movie. Quite dark.
Yeah.
Some of the humour's quite dark in it.
Yeah, which is right up our street.
Oh, I'll take that. Was it Stellan K. Moss, is it?
Yes.
Is it some of the lines he gets in? It's fucking beautiful.
Yeah. No, Stellan K. Brown.
Stellan K. Brown, sorry, that's his name. Stellan K. Moss.
I don't know who Stellan K. Moss is.
I'm just Googling him there, Tyus Brown. But some of the lines he hits it with.
It's hilarious.
Aye, the bit of the beach where it's a guy, if you got a pair, I'll eat your fucking sweater, Philip. Just, there's another one that's really funny, but I can't say that. So I won't bother.
Yeah.
But, that's how, a lot of these movies, though, they're written, like, some of the one-liners they get in them is hilarious.
Yeah, there's been a couple of them, like, that you were proper buckled at.
Yeah, like the writers have done pretty well.
Yeah.
Like, none of them, I would say, are badly written movies this year.
No.
Normally you get some of the Oscars that they're absolute shockers.
Absolute shanners, yeah, and you're like, who greenlit this? What I like about this movie as well is that You can watch this movie just as a dark comedy and think it's hilarious, right?
Yeah.
Or what we know is going to happen and what is happening is, like, all the film bros are like, I'm qualified to discuss this because it discusses the themes of the black experience and exploitation, gentrification, tokenism, blah, blah, blah. But the movie is poking fun at people like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, that was what I was laughing at the whole way through the movie, because I could just hear in my head what, like, some mad film bro is going to say about it, and then they would come out with it and be like, but what are you going to do? And then they would just move on.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
by stopping there.
Yeah, they didn't, like, linger on any points. It was just drop and go, and I really appreciated that. I didn't think the ending was super satisfying, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, it was kind of jarring.
I thought so too, I thought so too. But I get why they did it that way, kind of thing. Next one we watched was Holdovers. I'm going to try and beat your synopsis. Holdovers is basically posh boys in a boarding school and their mums and dads don't love them, leave them there. Everyone else goes home except this one guy, and him and Paul Giamatti basically have to spend 2 weeks over Christmas together. A better synopsis?
Aye, pretty much. I'll give you that.
Right. There, see, I'm getting in the swing of it now.
Up for it. Very up for it.
I know.
Holdovers, I didn't like it up until they ended up going on a trip.
Yeah,
started to get into the movie.
Yeah, it took about 45 minutes for us to actually sit down and enjoy this movie. Like, we were going to turn it off halfway through. We were like, nah, this is bad.
Paul Giamatti's just great in everything.
Yeah.
Best rhino we've ever had. And it was so weird, the beginning of it. And
yeah.
Maybe we're in the wrong, because people are going to have to learn about this film.
Yeah. I know. I think it's us. I think we're the problem.
Aye. Too cynical.
I think he was really good in it. Like, he's your worst nightmare of a teacher. Like, he would do your nut in. But I do think when it did kick in, when we did get really into it, we were proper chuckling away. Like, like you were saying, he, like, with the one-liners, there was some banging good liners in this movie. And, like, it was really nice watching all the relationships kind of grow and develop and stuff like that. But I don't know, right? I feel like 20 minutes in, you and me were like, this is the plot of the film, and basically, like, spoiled the movie for ourselves.
Yeah, there was nothing new in it.
Yeah, it's not like an original idea, and it was a lovely movie when you got into it, but I'm not going to watch it again.
The story was a bit weak in that one, but it looked great. I mean, the aesthetics in that, the 70s, was, like, really good.
Oh, totally.
It was really cool the way they done it. Even, like, the bowling alley and all that is pretty bizarre.
Yeah, 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 totally.
It's still cool they do all that stuff.
Yeah. No, it was good, but if you're going to watch it, you just need to slog out the first 45 minutes and then you're in. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I think it was like a two and a half hour film, so there's plenty of time.
This is something, I didn't know if I wanted to cover it now or later, but fuck it, you've started me now. None of these movies, except for one, had any right being longer than an hour 45. Not one of them.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
The only movie that deserves its length is Oppenheimer, but we'll discuss that more then.
Yeah.
Not one of these movies needed to be longer than 2 hours maximum. Like, there was parts of this where I was like, who's editing these movies? Like, they got good writers. Where the fuck are the editors, man? Like,
I pay the editors.
Oh, yeah. Editors go on strike, man. You deserve this. I don't know. Like, the next one, I don't really want to talk about. The next one that we went to see is Zone of Interest. Now, this is the one I was least looking forward to. Basically, I don't even think this movie needs a synopsis. Basically, it's a movie. I personally thought going, because another thing that we were saying was that we went into all of these movies blind. We didn't look anything up. We just watched the trailer and went, this movie, I thought, was just about a soldier who lives next to Auschwitz with his family. No, this movie's about the guy that, like, made Auschwitz, basically. And it's him and his family. And see, when it says next door, it is literally the wall of Auschwitz is their garden wall. And you're just there and you are in this for, like, 2 hours. Now, it's not a bad movie. It's an incredibly powerful movie. And I don't want to say I enjoyed it, because I really didn't.
No,
like,
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a phenomenal film.
It is a phenomenal movie, but I was so glad when it was over. Like, it's a very uncomfortable movie, but then it should be for the subject matter, but
you're not meant to come out of that feeling great about yourself.
Oh yeah, totally. No, I was so down for about 4 days after watching this movie, which I do feel has impacted some of my later reviews, because it was basically as soon as we watched Zone of Interest, I was like, I'm so done. I can't do this
enough
anymore.
Had enough.
Like, I remember hearing loads of other people being like, Zone of Interest is the movie to watch. This is amazing. And I was like, oh God, I really hope we don't need to go and watch this. And then it got announced on the list and I was like, no.
We did get warned off a few people that it's pretty heavy.
Yeah. And I don't know how... I've got a lot to say about this movie for not... I don't know if not enjoying the movie is the right phrase, because it's not supposed to be an enjoyable movie, but it's the most subtle Holocaust movie, if that makes sense. Like, instead of where...
I don't think it's subtle. Like,
No.
It's pretty... it's there.
No. Like,
the main character's almost the fucking camp.
Yeah. No, I know. But what I mean is that, like... You don't really see anything, but you hear everything. Like, there is no music in this movie. The soundtrack of the movie is the noises of Auschwitz, and take from that sentence what you will. And the few things that you do see are just grim enough as it is, do you know what I mean? Like, when he comes back from work, as his wife says, and then he gives his boots, and then they're, like, cleaning blood off his boots. I was like, oh, great. And then there's... Like, there's three or four bits where you are basically shown like a white screen or a red screen, and there's the music that they do use. The only way I can describe it is if The Shining and The Inception had a baby, but this baby was terrifying. It was the most unnerving music. Like, even at the end when the credits were rolling and they were playing that music, I was like, Ross, we need to go.
Yeah, take relief.
I was sobbing for the whole 2 hours. Like, it was incredibly effective, and like, it stays with you. Like, this is a movie that's not, you're not shifting from this movie. Like, you can't just come home from this movie and feel like a normal person again. Or maybe other people can. Me?
Yeah,
no.
I didn't feel so bad.
I enjoyed
I enjoyed the movie. You're like getting your head as usual.
No, I did. It was like, as soon as we walked in and they just heard that, like, I was like, no, I'm done. What I did think was really cool that I found out after, because I ended up, as much as I hated watching this movie, I did kind of look some stuff up about it afterwards, and like, what I thought was really interesting was they didn't actually have like camera crews, they just rigged the house.
Yeah, just let them live out their lives.
Yeah, which I was like, that must be such a trip as like an actor, do you know what I mean? Of like, not only are you playing this super difficult role, you have to like improvise quite a lot of it. And I just, what kind of person are you if you can improvise a Nazi really well?
Like, I suppose they've been done to death. It just can't be that difficult.
I personally will never watch Zone of Interest again, but that doesn't mean that it's not a 10 out of 10 movie. I've seen it once and I'm done.
It can't be a 10 out of 10 movie if you won't watch it again. It's no 10 out of 10 won't watch again.
Shut up.
Fucking,
you know.
What are you all about?
I've undone my own show.
Aye. Just fucking ruined the whole podcast. You're shite.
Right, done it off. We're done. Zone of Interest has killed yet another bloody thing.
Oh, it was a good movie, but like most of the movies on this, I don't think I'll watch again. I don't want to watch again. Like, they're too long, and it's just... Oh, it's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
I'm so done with movies.
Oh, great. Episode 2, we're already like, nah, I can't be bored. The movie we watched after Zone of Interest was Poor Things. Now, I thought this was going to be the comedy that it was advertised as being, right? Like, it's basically been advertised as this, like, arty-farty comedy about... So, basically... Or do you want to do the synopsis for
this? No, like, you're doing well so far.
Right, okay. So, we followed up Zone of Interest with Poor Things, which I thought was going to be the comedy it's been advertised as. It's kind of been advertised as like an arty-farty comedy about Emma Stone being like with a baby brain going through life, but it's actually more about like her growing and her being used and her like... It's a lot heavier than what we thought it was going to be, but they hide the heaviness with like... quirky, zany script.
That and Willem Dafoe's shocking accent.
What was his accent? Willem Dafoe. So, it's based on the book, which is set in Glasgow. And I don't understand why they changed everything about this movie except Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, I don't. Why keep him with a Glaswegian accent?
If
as
that's
a,
what
like
you
a
want
nod.
To call that accent.
A Scottish accent, we'll call it.
I don't even think it counts as that, but nay bother. Nah. Willem Dafoe, bolt with that. Absolutely bolt with that.
That's another one that's... It looked great, sets were great, the actors were good in it, it's just I had no interest in it.
Yeah.
And, like, I was interested in it, then I lost very quick because it's too long yet again.
That was another one you could have shaved off half an hour, 40 minutes. Like, yeah. I was the same as you, I was really enjoying it. Do you know the way it was kind of like a colourful Tim Burton movie? Yeah. And I was even on board with the, like, zany, wacky, quirky script. And... it wasn't annoying me until they got to Paris, and then basically from Paris to about the end of the movie, I was like,
yeah, it was a bit of a slog. It was bit of a mess.
Yeah, like that. This is a movie that is very heavy-handed with the. This is the journey of a woman, and this is what it means to be a woman. And okay, like I get it. I get what you were trying to say, but I just kind of felt like there was some things that. They laboured on that they didn't need to, like, obviously, so, like, as she's, like, growing up, not, I don't know if grown up's the right word, but as she's, like, going along this journey, she becomes more sexual, then goes to sexualized, then figures out how to use that to her benefit, which then, do you know, it just kind of went down that road. And after about 20 minutes of that storyline, I was like, I get what you're trying to say here. Yeah. Let's wrap this the fuck
up
and move on.
And she was a prostitute in France.
Yeah.
That could have been cut out. But
absolutely.
If it's a big part of the book, I suppose you can't. You need to do it justice.
Yeah, I've not read the book. I'll see if I can get it on Audible, and I'll see if
see
it
what happens,
makes it with the film. Yeah, but...
See if it makes sense.
Yeah, but, like, I did like it. Do you know, it was lovely to see Mark Ruffalo just acting again, like, not being the Hulk for the past...
Oh, Mark Ruffalo was great in the movie.
So
he was fantastic.
Good. He was so good. And, like, I'll probably drop this in Oppenheimer as well, but it's just so nice when you see these actors who you've seen them in good things and then they've basically been in the Marvel machine for like the past 10 years. That's not shitting on Marvel until now. I'm talking old school class Marvel. I say old school as if it wasn't like a couple of years ago.
Not long ago.
But like, it's nice to see these actors being able to like flex again. Do you know what I mean? Rather than like phoning it in.
Yeah, actual act.
Yeah. But Poor Things was okay. I would maybe watch Poor Things again just to double check that I didn't love it. Do you know what I mean? Like, just to definitely make sure. But yeah, no, it would have been so much better if they'd shaved off half an hour, 45 minutes of that movie. Now, okay, so the next one is Anatomy of the Fall. And I feel like this suffered from... me being miserable about Zone of Interest. So basically, we had two movies to finish off the Oscar movies. We did Maestro and we did Anatomy of the Fall in one day. And I regret that. I really regret that. Because I would love to try and watch this movie again when I'm not traumatised / raging at Bradley Cooper. And because what I watched and what I grasped, I liked. I just, my brain was out by that point. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But what I saw, I liked. I would just like to watch it again to be like, did I like that? You know, like...
I do think that Anatomy of the Fall would be one 10 out of 10 we would watch again.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Anatomy of the Fall just kind of fell under bad timing and bad moods. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I was miserable after Zone of Interest and then we just watched Bradley Cooper and I could rant about that man for days, which we're about to in about 10 minutes time.
I don't think it helps that the woman for... Anatomy of the Fall was the same one for Zone of Interest.
Yeah, so I was instantly like, girl, get her off my screen.
Yeah, like she's done enough to us once.
Yes. Like, which really says to her as an actress, do you know what I mean? Because I was just pure like, nope, horrified, get off my telly. Will we talk about Maestro?
Yeah, we have to. We've talked about every other one.
I hate Bradley Cooper. I hate him. I used to really like him. Back when he first, not when he first came out, obviously he's been going for years, but like, I feel like he used to make really interesting things like that you would want to go and see and you were like, he's a really good actor. And now I feel like I've spent the last couple of years watching a desperate man do anything he can to get that Oscar and not get it. And his face, because obviously Cillian Murphy's been cleaning up, and his face, his mask is slipping more and more.
How long's it been since he's really tried?
No, that's the problem. He's trying too hard now.
No, but he done it with, was it that Silver Linings Playbook and that?
I didn't mind that movie though. I liked it.
Yeah, but that was the beginning of it.
True. No.
It's just a fucking nightmare.
Honestly, that's another thing though. Is like, I think Maestro would have been like, see for every other movie that we're speaking about / are about to speak about, I have screeds and screeds and screeds of notes. The only sentence I have for Maestro is, I hate Bradley Cooper, and that's on me.
Fair enough, but the music, yeah, it's good. The music should be good.
Yeah.
It's based on. Like, there's no reason that it shouldn't be bad music in that.
No.
Karen Mulligan's good in it.
Yeah, she's always like, good, but like,
they're good in it. It's just, see this, whatever he's doing now.
I know.
It's just getting a bit stupid.
He's just trying too hard in projects that aren't that great, but he's like going for it, and like I was saying, like, the mask is slipping, because every award ceremony, like the first one when he didn't get it, he's still like super gracious, like pure happy days, Killian. What was the one the other day? The SAG Awards?
Yeah.
And like Cillian Murphy won, and you just watched Bradley Cooper's face just drop, and I was like, my man, show some grace and decorum.
The guy's just had enough.
He can't be arsed.
I don't blame him. 12 Academy Award nominations, not a win.
Aye. Well, Leo didn't get a win, and Leo was more. Leo deserved a win before Revenant.
Get to Leo
sorry.
What we're going to.
Yeah, right, okay. Okay. This might define the camps, right? Killers of the Flower Moon? Pish. Pish. Pish, 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 pish. We were so excited for this movie. We went in, and don't tell me I'm a liar. We went into this movie full film bro mode. We were
buzzing for it.
Scorsese, Leo, great cast, De Niro, let's go. My man. We were so into, well, I don't know if we were into it or if we were like trying our hardest to be into it, and all it took was one distraction.
Yeah, we were done.
We were absolutely done. Like, one distraction, and then we were like, this movie's a lot of shit.
We dragged ourselves to the end. We were sitting there quietly, and I can't remember who was one of us turned around and said, this is shit. And I said, you know what? This is fucking shit.
It was like the start of the movie. We were like, amazing. Look at the set pieces. There's Big Leo. It was like, Wayne's at a tourist attraction.
I'm sick of, I got very tired of him playing an idiot.
Oh, man. I know. But this is the thing. Like, Leo won his Oscar for the wrong movie. He should not have won for Revenant, because let's face it, Revenant isn't that good. It's not. And if the film throws it at my door, I don't care. No, we watched it that one time, and we hated it when we watched it. Like, see if he'd won for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Nay, danger. Do you know what I mean? Like, that movie's great. But I feel like since he's won it, he's like, he is working with interesting people, and he is doing things that should be interesting. But this was bad, man. And I felt really bad. Like, I felt like when people were asking us, like, oh, what did you think of Killers of the Flower Moon? I kind of felt bad being like, I thought it was shit. I feel like people really wanted it to
be. A lot of people do that with, like, Scorsese, though, is it? Well, you can't hate his movies, is it? I can, and I am. So, like, fuck yous, I don't care what you say. Don't get wrong, I thought that Lily Gladstone in that, she was very good in it.
Yeah, she was great.
Like, she done really well. One of her complaints, and I don't know why, was the subtitles thing, until we looked into it. Apparently that's, he didn't plan for that, because if you, he didn't know what they're saying, why should we?
Yeah, and that's absolutely fair, like, because
We were moaning about that, and is it, God, we are the idiots here.
Yeah, we are the problem.
Yeah, we are genuinely the idiots.
And, like, obviously the ending is, like, when it gets to the radio play bit, that's Scorsese's way of saying, I know it shouldn't be me telling this story, but I'm the one who's telling it, so my apologies. And I was like, okay, I get it, but this is another one that did not need to be. And I don't care. I don't care if all I'm moaning about today is the run times. This did not need to be a 3.5 hour movie. Like, whatever. I was over it. I was so over it. I think we got to like an hour, and then we got one distraction.
Yeah.
Your nephew phoning us, and then the rest of it was just. We dragged ourselves.
It fell apart pretty quickly after that
phone
call.
It really, really did. But it, like you were saying, you and me were just sitting in pure silence, being like, "I hate this. Do you hate this?"
Yeah. But how do you get a cast like that?
I know.
I mean, Jesse Plemons, he's good.
You really like
everybody's
him.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, just such a.
You like Jesse Plemons a lot more than like. Other people do. Like, anything he's in, you're like, oh, that'll be good. He's always good.
You just don't like him because of who he's married to.
Oh, I can't stand Kirsten Dunst. I can't stand her. I think she honestly, like, stole my man in a past life because I shouldn't have this level of hatred to a woman I don't know. So, last two, the Barbenheimer. The internet had a great time with Barbenheimer. You and me did Barbenheimer, dressed on theme and everything. Well, I did. You just came with me.
Yeah, I was a normal person.
And like now I feel like people are like, oh my God, who were the ones that did Barbenheimer? We fucking did it, right? Say it to my face.
No, that was a long day.
No, it was a really long day. Do you want to start off with Oppenheimer or Barbie?
Go with Barbie.
Barbie. Okay.
You like this movie far more than me, so I'll let you run with it.
Listen. Barbie was just fun. Well, I mean, I say that, right? When you sit down and watch Barbie, it's a lot of fun. And out of all of the Oscar-nominated movies that we've watched, fun was needed. Fun was fucking needed. But this is another movie that when it gets close to the end, it's like, to be a woman. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, okay, stop it. I get it. Like, everyone's going off their nut about America Ferrera's speech, right? Great speech. Class. Tell me that this is not the updated version of that Bebo paragraph that everybody's mas and aunties had as like their skin back in the day. But apart from that, loved it. I wanted Weird Barbie to be weirder. Like, why are you just drawing squiggles on her face? Let's go mad.
Like, the sets and that for that, if that doesn't win the Oscars for like set design, that then nothing ever should.
Totally, because like, they really put so much work.
Yeah, they really went for it. Mm-hmm. Like, it did. It looked like a genuine. Like, a real place you could go to.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, like, shout out to Depression Barbie watching Pride and Prejudice. I buckle every time I felt seen. The only... So, I do think... Barbie was just good fun, and I loved it. I do think it is a bit feminism 101. Like, I understand... This would be a more important movie if you were, like... 13 to 16 and had the bare bones of what feminism was. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you.
Whereas I'm 30 years old, I know what feminism is, and I was just like, I get it, I know, do you know what I mean? But again, that message isn't, I mean, I don't want to say it's not for me, but you know what I mean? You know what I'm trying to say?
I still had, like, see the whole corporate people and all that, was there a need for them?
No. But funny, like, they had some good one-liners, like, was the bit where it's like, a podcast run by ancient trees and all this kind of stuff. Like, it was so stupid. The only thing that I will say about Barbie is I don't know if Barbie deserves to be in the best picture nomination purely because every other movie on the list has an actor nominated, a director nominated, all that kind of thing. And all Barbie's kind of got is supporting actress, songs and costumes. And I'm just like, if you're going to put something as a Best Picture nomination, tell me why it's a best... Like, you're not telling me America Ferrera is the reason this is a great movie. Do you know what I mean?
It's just the hype. It's going to be the hype for it, isn't it?
Yeah. It's
fair
the
enough, that's how it works. So they've done well.
And it was a fun, see, for all it was a long day, it was a fun day. You know me, I love a theme, right? So I was buzzing. We made like such a day of it. I loved it. It was such a good day. I'm glad we ended on Barbie though, do you know what I mean? Because Oppenheimer was like, ugh. But really good. I don't think Barbie's going to win, but it's the injection of fun that this year needed.
I think it'd be a shock if it won. There'd be more uproar about that winning than Margot Robbie not been nominated for Best Actress.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Ryan Gosling's singing I'm Just Ken at the Oscars, and people are like, oh no, he's going to boycott it and all that, because obviously everybody's been raging that Greta and Margot weren't nominated. Yeah. And, I mean, I'm not feeling a type of way, but I get it, do you know what I mean? Because, like I was saying, like, if it's nominated for Best Picture, tell me why. Like, yeah. Oppenheimer is in every single fucking category, do you know what I mean? Like, actor, actress, supporting, like, director, do you know what I mean? Barbie's not in everything, so, like, this to me just feels like we're only giving you the Best Picture because, one, the amount of money you made, two, the Barbenheimer, like, effect, that, do you know what I mean?
We said this at the time, though, is a lot of people are comparing Barbie to Oppenheimer.
Oh, you can't compare them.
Yeah, like, Oppenheimer's a big ensemble cast, yeah, all yeah. this, whereas Barbie's not, it's not that type of movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So even people, if Oppenheimer wins or if Barbie wins, yeah. they'll be like, oh, it's not the best one, is it?
You can't it's compare.
Barbie's such a different film for the rest of them.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And as you, like, I was thinking, see what you were saying earlier, but you just want fun. Mm-hmm. Is it? What Oscar movies are fun?
I felt last year Everything Everywhere All at Once, that was the perfect blend.
Was it a fun movie though?
No, but it was, well, it was funny, but that was the perfect blend of like funny and sad and everything. And do you know what I mean? Like, because I remember when we watched that and I was still laughing, sobbing, all sorts. Like, I needed a bit more of a blend. Do you know what I mean? A bit more of a well-rounded film than either straight up, we're Barbie and we're super pink and blah, blah, blah. And then just every other movie was just like yeah. grim and dark and blah. Like American Fiction was a comedy, but it's not for everyone. I'm not saying Barbie's going to be for everyone, but what I mean is like there wasn't a lot of balance this year.
Fuck, it was for everybody. It made fucking $1 squillion.
True. But like I did like it. I got the message they were saying. Again, this is another one that was super heavy-handed with it. Did we need the gynecologist at the end of Barbie? The fuck we did not. Do you know what I mean? But
end the story of becoming a real person, didn't it?
Yeah, I get it. But like, it brought me joy and I had fun. And I have since, this is the only one off the top of my head that I think will be a 10 out of 10 would watch again, purely because I've watched it a lot since it's came out, because I've watched it with my nieces, I've watched it with my pals, like, you know, I've watched it myself.
So I think it is one of the only ones made to be rewatched.
Yeah.
Like, I think with a lot of Oscar movies, there's a type to these movies.
Yeah.
And you see it every year.
Yeah.
Like, they have to, I think they love these long-winded, big narrative-driven stories now, is it? Let's just have people making stupid jokes. Like, these those movies aren't any worse than these, or any better than these. It's just been absolutely killer this year.
Oh man, on it. Yeah, I hope it's not depressing you guys.
Aye.
But we are struggling.
Aye.
It's like though when I said, like, to tie in with what you've just said, like when we were talking about Past Lives 40 hours ago, when it's like I wouldn't class that as like an Oscar movie, like what you were just saying, like all these long-winded things like the Oscars love, there's always at least one World War II movie, there's always one autobiographical movie, there's always one transformation movie, be it through fat suits, CGI, massive weight loss, that kind of thing.
They love to see the actors really go for it.
Yeah. And like, there's always those types of movies. Like last year's, what was that one? All Quiet on the Western Front.
Yeah.
We didn't watch that. And
no, that we're not gonna. That had done me in.
Totally. The whale was enough.
Aye.
So we'll round it off with, I know this was your favourite.
It's a heavy favourite for everything, the Oscars and that.
Oppenheimer was class.
Yeah, I think it's won everything so far.
Basically, yeah. I thought it was so good. And this is the only movie that deserves the runtime that it has. Like, everyone's like, oh, Oppenheimer's 3.5 hours long. You need that amount of time to tell this story. I did think they were a little light on the effects of the bomb. Like, there's those 5 minutes where he, not really 5 minutes, he goes through a wee bit, but what I mean is, like, there's that bit where he's giving the speech and everyone's standing there and then he starts to, like, get flashes of, like, burnt bodies, right? But they swept over that so fast to get to the courtroom. And
yeah, I think it was more him trying to fight against it and how he got vilified for the thing you created. Like, that's it's a weird one this year because you have, like, the Marvel guys coming out, acting like Robert Downey Jr.
He's back, baby. Yeah, like, he's actually back.
Like, I think people will be shocked to see him in this because they only know him as Iron Man. Yeah. That's wild.
Oh, that's what, I think that was, like, one of the first things we said when we left was just, like, Robert Downey Jr.'s back.
Yeah, give him a chance and people realise he's actually a very good actor, which he's always has been.
Yes.
But just because he's kind of been stuck in the role of Iron Man, then Hank, what did they make after that?
Oh, Doolittle and all that. High
so
pitch.
Was it, oh, fuck, he's lost it. But yeah. No, he's always been very good.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, we're solid RDJ fans, like,
yeah.
And, like, it was just nice to just watch, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like when you watch Iron Man, you're watching him act,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas when I was watching this, I was like, oh, he's back, take the floor, RDJ, on you go, big man.
Nah, he was so good. Everybody was so good. There was nobody in it, I would say, was bad or
absolutely
out of place.
Not. I wasn't a massive fan of Emily Blunt, but I'm not really a massive fan of Emily Blunt, so I think I was just a bit biased, but I get why she was the way she was,
yeah.
But I'm just not a massive fan of her. I feel like she looks like the kind of lassie that would call me a fat cow. like a posh version of that.
Fuck, like, I hope she never hears this.
Sorry, Emily, love you. Like, I thought everyone was great, and the amount of cameos from...
Oh, God, everybody everyone, was in this.
Like, every 2 seconds, you and me are nudging each other, like, oh, my God, that's him for the boys. Oh, my God, that's fucking Drake from Drake and Josh. Like, and
aye.
It was nuts. It was fucking nuts. And even, you know a movie's good when I don't mind Matt Damon. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Matt Damon's good.
I'm sick of having this argument with you and us. We are not having this argument on the internet.
No, obviously he's good. He wouldn't get all these roles now if he wasn't.
I know.
I don't think Christopher Nolan works with shite.
No, he does not. He does not. Well, that was the thing, wasn't it? That was what you were saying about... was it?
Apparently he was taking a break for acting. Was it something with his wife? I don't know. Was he there?
Yeah, he was supposed to be retiring or something like that.
Aye, unless Christopher... The only stipulation was if Christopher Nolan phones him, then he will come out of retirement and act. And funny enough, he gets offered the role in Oppenheimer.
Yeah. So he's like, "Bah, baby." Because it was like a whole thing. He'd like moved to Miami, him and his wife and family. They were just going to chill.
Counselling or something. I don't know. I mean, don't know the guy, so I couldn't tell you.
I phone Matt Damon up, find out where the crack is.
He was going home with
him. But I do love that. No, if Christopher Nolan phoned me, I'd be like, "Nay bother, big man. I'm on route." I think this is something like... Is it Cillian Murphy's like sixth Nolan movie or something like that? Like, and he was saying that like every time Christopher Nolan phones him, he's like, "I don't care what it is, I'm in." And he's very deserving of all the accolades that he's getting because Cillian Murphy was banging,
absolutely phenomenal in that. I reckon. I think Oppenheimer's just should clear up.
Yeah, I mean, it has been though, hasn't it? Like,
sometimes Oscars like to spring in a few surprises, but don't see how.
Nah, like, no way.
For Oppenheimer or anything.
No way. And it's like, that's the thing, is out of all of these movies, there's so much story to tell. Like, it goes from, like... him being younger, going to like Germany, learning it all, going to the being pals with Einstein. That blew my mind because do you know how like
you don't think about it.
No, you don't think.
I mean, I didn't know much about Oppenheimer to begin with.
Me neither.
I knew what he'd done, but so when you see Einstein, it's like, God, imagine they two just cutting about.
Yeah, totally. Like I think because you always see like obviously everyone knows Einstein and you see pictures of Einstein, but to me, I'm like. God, that was a real guy, cutting about.
That was an age away.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
Because I remember telling my dad we were going to go see Oppenheimer, and my dad was like, why? Like, why did you want to watch that film? And then we came out of it, and I was like, Dad, it's amazing.
But that was a phenomenal film.
We did get fidgety towards the end, but anybody would get fidgety after sitting for 3.5 hours and not having a snout.
Yeah, no. I can't even think of a bit I would cut.
Absolutely not.
I don't know.
Absolutely not. I think this would be a 10 out of 10 we'd watch again if we were watching it in the comfort of our own gaff where we could like pause it and
I've watched
talk
it from
through
home,
it
I'd
and stuff.
Be fine.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
definitely,
yeah.
Aye.
Because I think this is a movie, I'm not saying that you should talk through it. Obviously, you should be focusing on it. But I think if you can watch it in the house, you'd be able to take in a bit more because you're a lot more comfortable and stuff.
Yeah, I don't think cinemas cater for long movies.
No.
Like, Unless you get one of the ones that's like an actual fucking sofa you sit on.
Oh, like the one, like the Grosvenor, where it's like the proper sofas in the back. Yeah,
other than that, I don't, like, you can't go to Cineworld or the view rating and it's, no. Oh, you're here for 3.5 hours because it kills you.
I know.
Absolutely destroys you.
I know. But there's, we were squirmy at the end of Oppenheimer, but not because we were bored. Like,
no, wasn't
I wasn't
boring.
Bored at any point during Oppenheimer.
No,
and
no.
It didn't feel like a 3.5 hour movie. When you're in it, when you're watching it, all this stuff's happening, but you're not, see with like quite a lot of the Oscar movies, it's felt 2-3 hours long.
Oh, yeah,
do you know what I mean?
A lot of these ones felt long.
Mm-hmm. Whereas Oppenheimer was like done, yeah, and it was like, oh, fuck.
Nearly double the runtime that Oppenheimer was, and it didn't feel as long as them.
Yeah. That's like the only thing Oppenheimer's getting slagged on for, though, is like, oh my god, it's such a long movie. And it's like, but this is necessary. The other ones could have at least had 45 minutes shaved off them. Easy.
Yeah, as I say, I don't see where they cut.
No.
Like, what part of that story did you cut for Oppenheimer?
Absolutely not. No, because all of it's, like, important to, like, the end. Yeah. And I did think it was really cool the way they did the bomb. Like, obviously, there's all this build-up, all this tension, Nolan signature bassline sound.
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah.
And then as soon as the bomb goes off, it's, like, silence. Ah. And we were just sitting in the cinema, and it was, like, you could just feel everyone just being like... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought that was so good the way they did it because I was waiting for this like pure...
Yeah, thing. Just see the actual explosion itself.
Yeah, it was so cool. It was so good. And then obviously they're all pure buzzing with what's happened and then you're like, ah.
Then they just think it dawns on them, is it, fuck, they're going to use this on people.
Yeah,
this is really bad.
Yeah.
Then all they're thinking about is, how do we make it bigger? How do we try and kill more people?
Yeah, fucking insane.
Yeah,
fucking
but that's the whole fucking second part of the movie.
Yeah.
We could be here for hours talking about it.
Yeah. But Oppenheimer was definitely your favourite out of the bunch.
Yeah, oh, definitely. That was my favourite by far.
Because you were buzzing like the second we left the cinema after Oppenheimer.
Yeah,
you were
that
like,
was good.
Great.
That was very good.
So basically that's us covered all of the Oscar movies. We've tried really hard not to make this like a 6-hour podcast.
Right, obviously this isn't going to be our normal way going forward. We'll
try and go
more in depth, but that we couldn't do it with 7 movies?
Yeah. That's the thing is like obviously like our Halloween episode and the upcoming episodes, we've got the categories, we're going super in depth. Like, whereas this week we're like, there's no way we can make this a reasonable length for people to listen to us talk nonsense about, especially because we're not exactly like your film critiques. We're just here to be like, this was shite.
Oh, I know nothing about movies. I like it.
Yeah,
it's
shite. Like, I can comment on the cinematography if you like, but I don't think that's why people.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know what it means, so I'm not interested. The only thing I would ask is, obviously, what do you think's going to win, and what do you think should win?
I think Oppenheimer's cleaning up. I know we just said that. I also think Zone of Interest is in for a couple of shouts, purely because of how nuts, like, not nuts that movie is, that's probably the wrong phrase. Like,
fucking mental.
That's fucking, did you, don't. I was talking
you
about.
You gave me the third degree for a man. Am I getting a third degree for?
I was talking about this movie in my work, and a guy was like, oh, did you not know about it? And I'm like, no, I only discovered the Holocaust on Tuesday,
yeah,
big man.
Only,
like,
only just happened, didn't
yeah,
it?
Like, wow, how did anybody hide this from me? I mean, we've bloody done it again. So I'm thinking Oppenheimer is definitely going to clean up. I think Barbie is going to win its honorary ones. I think it's going to win for set design. I think it's probably going to win for song, whether
it should.
Billie Eilish. Or I'm Just Ken.
Are they both nominated for it?
Yeah.
I think it'll be one of them then.
I don't think America Ferrera is going to win for supporting actress just because I think, is it Emily Blunt in there?
Emily Blunt's in Oppenheimer.
That's what I mean. Like, I don't think she's going to win that.
I don't know. I think it might be the thingy for Zone of Interest.
Go for it. Listen, she traumatised me enough. Yeah,
I think she might be for... best supporting actress.
Yeah, go for it. Aye, she was fucking grim. Give it to her, so she was good on it. Yeah, she was really good. That's the thing with Zona and Chess. The actors were really good on it. I just didn't enjoy my time.
I'm certain saying that. I don't even know if she's fucking nominated. I assume she is.
Yeah, we kind of...
Acting as if I know what I'm talking about.
we've like just been focused on the best pictures. We're like, fuck, who else is nominated
I'm a dick.
Why?
Because she was nominated for Anatomy of a Fall. So she's got a chance.
So she's going to win.
Just for the right movie.
I reckon they'll give Barbie the nods they need to give it, if you know what I mean. Like, what was the one, was it the Globes, where there was that award for, like, was it, like, dedication to cinema or something like that? And it was between that and the Eras movie, because of how much money they basically made for cinema. Aye. You know what I'm talking about?
I've saved cinema.
That was it. And, like, I think they just gave it that just to give it something. Like, yeah. I think Barbie does deserve its shout, but I don't think it's got a chance just purely because of what it's stacked up against. Like, if Barbie wins more than one award, that's just purely to, like, quiet the mask.
Yeah.
Because Oppenheimer deserves to clean up, absolutely. Like, I think, like, screenplay and stuff is, like, American Fiction and stuff. I could see that winning, like, 100%. But if Oppenheimer doesn't clean up most of the categories, I'll be shocked.
I think it's got to win.
It's got to.
Best movie.
Mm-hmm.
Best director. I don't know.
Has Nolan won before? I don't think so.
He certainly didn't win for Tenet. That was fucking shite.
That's his one miss. His one bloody miss.
So we've just spoken about this for 55 minutes just to come to the same conclusion that
Oppenheimer's going to win.
So what happens if Oppenheimer does the win then?
Then we're fucked, aren't we? We're going to need to just quit this. Like, we don't know what we're talking about. So I know we've kind of discussed it through all the categories, but are there any of these movies that you're walking away from that are a definite 10 out of 10 we'd watch again? Like, if you had the choice to pick tonight's movie, would you pick any of these Oscar movies?
Yeah, probably not, no.
Yeah, no, exactly. No. That's what I mean. Like, I think they've been a watch, and I'm very glad that we don't have to watch them anymore.
I don't think Oscar movies are made for to be 10 out of 10 would watch again movies.
Yeah, we said that about The Whale. Like, I wonder if The Whale holds up, because we watched The Whale last year and I was a mess.
Yeah.
And we have never seen it since.
No, I can't think of any of the Oscar movies that we've rewatched.
Yeah, no. I know. Maybe we should do that. We should do, like...
No.
Okay. Aye, if next year we turn around and go, guys, we're going to do an overview for the Oscars, everyone tell us no.
Maybe because we try to cram them in as well. Maybe that got us a bit fatigued. I'm fatigued.
But we had to cram them in, though, because, like, they all came out about around the same time.
Aye, some of them came out about 6 months ago. We chose to just watch them.
We missed them.
Because we decided we're going to just make this up as we go.
Yeah, because we're dicks.
Aye.
Because we've missed, like, other movies in the cinema that we really wanted to watch purely to sit through the... Like, I walked past, and I'm not saying Iron Claw would be a cheery movie, but I walked past Iron Claw to go to Zone of Interest, and I'll never forgive you for that.
That's the thing. If we'd able to watch these movies, I wonder if any of them would have been a better replacement for some of the best pictures. But we'll never know.
Like Iron Claw, if that... Yeah, because they were all saying that should that have been up
they
for
were
one.
Talking about, I mean, people are going after that about Napoleon, but still no seen it. Don't really why, because it's about 26 hours long and I'm not sitting through a 28-hour film.
No, I can't.
Can I sit in all 30 hours?
for the foreseeable, like, we are on cartoons, we are on shite action movies. Ross, do you know what should have been a shout in for the Oscar movies? The fucking Beekeeper. The Beekeeper!
So, we've came to the conclusion that...
The Beekeeper should have won!
Aye. And that Oscar movies are shite, other than Oppenheimer.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, we're great at this movie podcast thing. We're so good at this.
Basically, what you're telling is we've just wasted an hour.
Yeah,
talking absolute rubbish.
Yeah, basically. So with that, guys, thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining us this week. We are a bit miserable because all we've done is watch miserable fucking movies. We're basically just going to spend the next week watching, like, drivel cartoons, reset our brains, and we'll come back at you next week with something. We'll be back to usual format, and we'll be back with something that we all actually want to watch. We'll go for something like action next week or something, because we did a horror for our first week, so we'll do something a bit different.
Yeah, try and change it up to just bad movies, good movies, whatever.
Can't wait. I can't wait for our first bad one. Yeah. Look at us go, Ross. Look at us go.
Aye, happy days.
Anyway, as per, leave us any comments on Instagram. Please give us a rating if you can. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Fucking shite. I'm going to cry.
Give me the third degree, man.
I don't want to watch any more movies.